Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Share that with you coming up here in moments. Also, I know, Vincent, you wanted to cover the latest on Ye, formerly known as Kanye West. He's apparently still out there after having apparently disappeared for some amount of time from public view. He's now back in public view, and Vincent's got an update.
Not exactly public view. I don't think he wanted to be made public, but...
Well, we'll find out what the latest is there. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Let's go to the phones here. We're going to start out with Sydney tonight. People are already on the lines, even though we haven't even started. Sydney, you're on Free Talk Live, calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if this is what you guys were teasing. I wanted to call in with the news that local Bitcoins have announced that they're going to be shutting down.
That isn't really the big bad news of the day. There's some really terrible news for just the future of cryptocurrency in the United States. But, yeah, I did have that story as well. You're referring to, I think, probably the first site of its kind to allow person-to-person or peer-to-peer, as they call it, trades between people that want to buy or sell Bitcoin. Local Bitcoins did announce today that they are closing their doors.
Why would they do that?
Well, Sydney, do you want to speculate on that? Because they have their official reasons, but...
Yeah, their official reason is because of crypto winter, they're going to wind down their operation over the next 2 or 3 months. A lot of commenters that I've been reading say, well, I think somebody is squeezing them, and I think that's very likely.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that, oh, crypto winter is going to stop local Bitcoins, which has been around for a decade, according to their own post about this that they made on social media today. Like, you've been around a decade. You've been through a bunch of crypto winters. You've been through several major downturns in the price of Bitcoin. So why this time? Well, I mean, as you suggested, Sydney, I think it absolutely has to do with the fact that they are under severe regulatory pressure. You know, I've been around the crypto world long enough to remember when local Bitcoins was an actual way to buy Bitcoins from someone in your town,
yep.
Someone in your city. You could go to the site. You could say, I'm in, you know, Keene, New Hampshire. Put your zip code or whatever was in there. And it would show you everyone who's in the, I don't know, whatever, 50-mile radius or 10-mile radius. I think you could select it. And it would show you who the sellers were, that people who were, like, willing to go meet you at McDonald's or in a bank parking lot or something like that, and then you would give that person cash, they would indicate that you paid them the cash, and then the site would release coins to you as the buyer. Personally, I never actually did that, I was kind of, this just wasn't something I was interested in doing when I was using local Bitcoins. But that was why the site got started. And then in 2017, now they always had these other options, like you could buy with a debit card, or you could buy with a bank account deposit or wire transfer. And they had a ton of other options besides meeting in person. But the sort of meeting in person was the kind of the bread and butter of the whole operation. And then in 2017, I think it was, all of a sudden, Local Bitcoins announced that they were going to get rid of that aspect to their site. They just decided they were no longer going to be Local Bitcoins. Still had the same name, but you could not actually physically meet someone through the site. There was no connection of actual humans in any given area. And the purported reason for that, by the way, at the same time, they introduced major know-your-customer requirements. So previous to that, you could just open up an account. And
so clearly there's something else going on here. I want to know, I don't know if the two are connected anyhow, but there's also localmonero.org. I wonder if they are...
Is it .org or .co?
.co.
Might be .co.
Yeah.
They might have them both. I don't know. But, I have used that site in the past as well, prior to the raid by the federal government in the Crypto 6 case. And,
yes.
And I would recommend that site. That is a very good site. It's a site that actually seems to try to carry the torch of the original Local Bitcoin mission. And I suspect they're going to see an increase in business now that Local Bitcoins is going away.
Well, I don't think Local Monero is a good idea either, because even it is centralized. And if Local Bitcoin is going to get squeezed, which it looks like they're probably getting squeezed. My question
that's
is,
gotta be what's happening.
Why wouldn't they just say they're getting squeezed then, which is weird.
The same reason why, whatever the reason is, it's probably the same reason why Shapeshift never said why. Because Shapeshift, the libertarian-founded company that allowed individuals to exchange cryptocurrencies, not dollars, but just crypto for crypto, online without an account, several years ago changed course and said, well, now we got to make you have an account. Okay, know your customers coming into play, and sorry about this, but we had to do it. And they never really told the story. There was never an explanation from Eric Voorhees, who is the founder of Shapeshift and hardcore libertarian, mm-hmm. voluntarist guy.
A real one, verifiable.
Free stater, like he's the real deal. And he's always been on the up and up about just explaining his experience with crypto and hating on the federal government and he's very anti-state, right? He didn't say a word about why this was happening. All you had to do is just kind of read through read between the lines. It's like, oh, all of a sudden this company that historically has never required know your customer is now going to require it from everyone. Something happened. There's some sort of pressure that has been put on these people, and it was the kind of pressure that made it so he didn't feel comfortable explaining it. And to have somebody in that position who was so adamantly anti-state, like, he never stopped being that way.
It makes you wonder if there's actually a physical threat involved.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, and I hope the whole story comes out someday where he's able to, I don't know, maybe he needs to leave the United States first to renounce citizenship, I don't know what, but where he can actually say, oh, this is what they did. This is what they said they were going to do to me
or
my wife.
That's actually perfect proof of how even in the right hands, centralized projects cannot survive the state. If you're going to get threatened by the powers that be, and you are a central component of something that's trying to survive, and they have to do is threaten
take
you to
you
pull
down.
The plug, you will pull the plug. So the best possible thing that can happen here is decentralized types of exchanges.
But how do you do it? How do you do that when it comes to dollars for Bitcoin?
That's a good question, but you know what? I'm damn sure there's an answer to it that'll work just fine.
I wish I had the answer. Sydney, what about you?
Yeah, I wish we could just decouple the dollar from Bitcoin.
100%.
Anyway, I first heard about Local Bitcoins actually here on Free Talk Live a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first checked it out, I thought that it was just a map where it was just a way to, connect with other people and you would meet in person. I wasn't aware that they did an escrow service.
Yeah.
And as I was looking into this story, I realized that they actually had a lot more, let's say, skin in the game. And once you do that, I think then you have something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, the powers that be that don't want to see cryptocurrency succeed because it's an alternative to their system, they use those as weaknesses. So definitely we need decentralized and decoupled ways to go about this, but we're not asking anybody for permission. And there's also no way to squeeze people. And I know it's extremely difficult, I think the technological solutions hopefully are out there, and hopefully we can start to use them. I hear on your show frequently complaints about people not using these technologies. And, you know, we have the technologies that are available, and we need to use them and practice what we're talking about. So I encourage everybody to do that. And I just want to thank you for your show, because I really think that it's guided me in many ways, like with local Bitcoins, where to look, what to look into, what technologies are available to hopefully one day completely circumvent this tyrannical system that they set up all around us to control us and extract our lifeblood from us. So,
right. And, you know, the thing is, Sidney, the genie's out of the bottle. Is not going back in. One way or another, whatever they release, whatever they do, they are in a competition mode now. They have been forced into a competition mode that they've never had to be in before, and they're not liking it, and they're just flexing, and they're going to continue to flex, and eventually the mass of people will start to see that these types of people aren't really necessary. These jobs aren't necessary. They're going to start to act more and more criminal. They will lose the faith of the majority of the people eventually, and they'll just become more and more violent. All dying states act this way. Mm. They get paranoid, they get violent, and they will turn away their own customers. They're just going to turn off everybody who once believed in them, and then we win.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sidney, for the call tonight. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Vincent, Matt, have you guys ever used a site like Local Bitcoins before?
Sure.
No, I have not.
And what was your experience?
Fine.
Yeah,
I've used Local Bitcoins a few times.
I think that having some sort of decentralized solution alternative to this would be great. Maybe something like that exists. I know at one time I had experimented with something called BISC, B-I-S-Q. And that was sort of known as one of the first, what they might call a decentralized exchange. I believe it still exists. I have not obviously had the ability to check on it in a couple of years since I've been under bail conditions. But I think it's still out there. But when I tried it, it was very low volume. There wasn't a whole lot of activity on there, so there weren't a lot of options for you to use. But they did have a category for the purchase through like cash deposits. So they were trying to do like a Local Bitcoins, they're trying to ape that to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they had, and you know, if I'm wrong about this, feel free to call and correct me on it, but I don't think they had the same level of service that Local Bitcoins offers, which is to say that Local Bitcoins does have that escrow service. And that comes in handy when it comes to the scam artists that are on these websites. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, they are out there. I don't think they're the majority of the people on these sites. I think they're a small minority, but they're a prolific minority, and they're a problematic minority because they're smart, and they know how to take advantage of people, both buyers and sellers. And so having that centralized escrow service is very, very helpful, because there's like an actual human being behind there that when there's an issue, you raise an issue with the site and say, hey, I think I'm being scammed, something's happened, something suspicious is going on, and they bring a person in, and then they look at the evidence, and then they make a decision on that. And there may be a way to do that in a decentralized fashion, but I don't think anyone has done it yet. I would love to hear that that does exist, but I'm not aware of it, which is why sites like Local Bitcoins take 1%. I think AgoraDesk and or localmonero.co, which is the same site, just they have two different sort of front-facing
right.
portals, because AgoraDesk is Monero and Bitcoin, last I was aware. So you can do both, which is, I think, a nice thing to have. But they have the same situation where, you know, they take 1% of every sale, and that goes to pay to run the site, which includes paying the administrators to come in whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a scam artist. And that's going to be tricky to do.
Maybe like decentralized. Maybe like a multi-node, like an infinite multi-node messaging service that just puts strangers together that is not centralized, and it's hosted maybe like on a blockchain or something like
that. Yeah, there's probably some way to do it. I'm sure someone is going to be thinking about that now, right? Like if they haven't already been thinking about it.
It'd be great if there was privacy involved with the exchanges, like the actual messaging service. Like, you know, of any blockchain-based technologies that are privacy in nature?
Monero. Yeah.
The whole idea behind Hush was to be a messaging.
Yeah, I don't know where they're at these days. I haven't heard anything.
I know they're still working on it. I've heard about it recently. Okay. I got a full rundown recently. They're still working on it.
But let's see. So according to CoinDesk and their story about this, the local Bitcoin's revenues has taken a hit. They say they apparently had a $100 million week or consecutive weeks in 2017, and now they're down to 5 to 7 million in weekly trading volume over the past 4 months. Now, you can do the math here at $5 million, and if you, you know, look at what 1% of that is, because remember, they take 1% from every trade, that's $50,000 in a week. Now, obviously, that's going to not be anything compared to $100 million, because that's obviously a lot nicer, but, I mean, can you run a website for $50,000 a week? Yeah, I think you can. I think you can, you know, if you have to cut your staff, I understand. There's been a lot of bloodletting going on in the crypto world in the last year. And this is what they're calling this crypto winter. There's major websites like Crypto.com, Coinbase. A lot of these sites have cut hundreds, if not a couple thousand staff members, because numbers are down. The usage is down. I mean, that's absolutely a fact. But, I mean, how much do you really need to pay? How many administrators do you need to check over a lower amount of sales? You know, the sales are down, so you're going to have to probably let some guys go. But $50,000 a week, I think you could still pay a healthy staff to run a website. So to me, this isn't about the numbers being down. That's clearly just an excuse that they're giving. Somebody's putting pressure on them, and it may just be the simple pressure of having to comply with governments, right?
I just want to add to them not saying if they are under the screws by the government. I've seen in other cases I've covered where it's a company bullying customers, where if a customer was wronged by a company and they put out an article or a bad review, in this case, the company was holding on to a person's money. Hmm. They would bully the customer and say, you know, take down your review, otherwise you won't get your money. So, it doesn't have to be like always like a physical threat. I think it could be that they say, if you complain about this, it's going to get worse. And like if a company is going to do that, then obviously the government's going to do like five times worse.
Yeah. You know, I remember something else that comes to mind, and let's jump right into the tinfoil hat area, which has been more correct than anybody ever thought it would be, even people who wore tinfoil hats, I think. But I think at Porkfest in like 2016 or 2017, Patrick Byrne from Overstock.com was the keynote speaker. And he's awesome. That guy's one of my heroes now.
Yeah, I remember Bo Davis talking about doing bong hits with him before he did his
fantastic
speech.
Absolutely fantastic, dude. Incredible human being. I love him. But he was talking about his journey with deciding to accept Bitcoin at Overstock.com.
Right, and become the first, I believe, billion-dollar company to do that.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of the first big guys to actually make that decision to accept Bitcoin as a payment option. And one of the things he said is he was getting, like, shadowy-type figures showing up around him, getting threats and people getting out of cars and, like, following him down the street and getting back into a different car and things, you know, like...
That's creepy.
They were intentionally doing it. He said there was definitely a Russian contingent that was involved, and there were people with like Eastern European accents, but it didn't seem like there was. He couldn't really tell who it was. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody has an accent that's talking to you doesn't mean that they're the ones. You know, hitmen can be from any country.
Sure, the undercover agent they had that's right. The army ups had a Belarusian
perfect
accent.
It could have been him for all we know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, maybe.
So
he worked for the IRS.
Yeah, whatever. They're all just hitmen. They probably have no loyalties whatsoever. But that said, you know, if they're threatening Patrick Byrne obviously told him to go fly a kite, and he just upped his security and kept his head on a swivel for a while and kept doing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ever happened to him, obviously.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God. But he actually, take that back, he did get very, 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 very ill at one point, and it was, I don't know what was going on there, but he came very close to death at one point, but that was after he spoke at Porkfest.
I want to go to the phones here. I got somebody else on the line. Caller, what's your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, my name's Van.
Van.
Is that me?
You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys been doing? I've been listening. Look, I'm a Luddite. my brother's into all that stuff. The reason I called, though, you call and talk about anything, right?
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
I took some psilocybin about 11:30 a.m.
Sweet you.
And I'm still like, whoa. My ex-wife gave it to me. I said, okay, I got a bum knee. I'm in my backyard, you know, and I don't have a vehicle. I can't work. Oh, here, take these. And I said, well, look, go to the grocery store. Oh, I'll be back in an hour and a half. and she's not back yet. I trust her.
Uh-oh.
I called you guys about her months ago. She got the government took her house and all that crap, man. And she was wonderful. Anyway, I'm digressing, but this little side, I haven't done this in several years, man.
Wow,
and
man.
This is like, whoa. I think it's illegal in the state I'm in, but
probably. I think it's illegal in pretty much every state with the exception of Oregon, or I believe maybe Colorado might be changing that soon.
No, D.C. I grew up in D.C., and my buddy's like, yeah, man, you could get a man to your pier. I was like, well, that's where it's coming down here from, because this stuff is, whoa.
Oh, you're pointing out that they did legalize it in D.C., yes. Thank you for the reminder. There have been some cities in across the United States. I'd forgotten that D.C. was one of them. That's great.
Yeah, I left D.C. in like 1980.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live there.
No way.
No,
Mordor.
My dad was a government worker. He wouldn't split, and I split. But, you know, I still have wonderful friends there. And, it's a very, and I was, just, I only get you guys on Sundays.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll call and listen to you guys till my phone burns out, you know? And,
all right.
Because, no, man, you're very, I know nothing about this crypto stuff, but I am about to inherit, my dad passed away last May, and all this, it is, you know, D.C., it's got to go through this court and all this crap, and not so, I got to deal with lawyers, and, man, it's like a lot of money. You got to do this, got to do that. And I'm a cash and carry dude, man, mm-hmm. So it's like, well, that's another whole other story. But the psilocybin, how long do you roll on this, man? Because it was 11:30 the president now.
Psilocybin, you're normally going to be affected for like, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours. But if it was really powerful, I suppose it could go on for longer than that.
Sure, it depends on how much you eat, too.
Yeah, how much did you take?
Yeah, I haven't. That's why I sent her to the store. I ain't gonna eat food.
No, I mean it depends on like how long the trip lasts.
Yeah.
Depends on how much shroom you
eat. How many grams?
I have no idea. I just took a big old handful. And
oh, well, there you go.
Okay, that might be why.
Just sit back and enjoy the ride, my friend. I hope you're having a great night.
I'm glad you're able to dial the phone and call us. So, like, you're probably not too affected at this point.
Oh, no, it's beautiful, yeah. Man. I mean, it's just, God, I wish you'd get back with some food.
Well, the fact is, if you're hungry, that means you're probably on your come down because you know, if you're tripping, you're generally not going to be interested in food. In fact, if you were to try to eat while you were coming up on it or tripping hard on it, there's a good chance you'd puke it anyway.
Yeah.
So the fact that
my stomach's fine, you know. It's just I gave her some money to get some groceries, you know, just basic stuff, and should be here, man.
All right, brother. Well, good luck. Thanks, man, thanks for the trip report, man. I appreciate
it. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for the call tonight.
Enjoy
that trip. The number here is 603-283-6160. And, yes, drugs are a thing. People do use them, and they use them responsibly. If you want to learn more about how to do that, I would recommend Arowid, Arowid.org. It does help to learn about these things before you get into them. But harm reduction is an important concept. We got
absolutely
more coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Much of the evidence remains underwater. That's according to an FBI official who gave an update about the Chinese spy balloon that was shot down last weekend. Assistant Secretary of Defense Melissa Dalton on the aftermath.
Key part of the calculus for this operation was the ability to salvage, understand, and exploit the capabilities of the high-altitude balloon.
Officials were tracking the balloon closely as it moved across Alaska and Canada and determined it wasn't a threat to America. civilians. The death toll from a massive earthquake earlier this week in Turkey and Syria is now above 20,000. The quake was a magnitude 7.8. Dozens of nations and international organizations are providing aid. Another land is coming to Disneyland. CEO Bob Iger announced the new plan.
I'm thrilled to announce that we will be bringing an exciting Avatar experience to Disneyland.
Dave Collins, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We got some pretty ugly news in the world of cryptocurrency coming out today. No, it's not that Local Bitcoins is closed. That was an earlier caller's guess. That's not good news, but it's not, you know, terrible. There's always going to be competitors to Local Bitcoins. In fact, there are existing competitors to them, so I'm sure business is going to be going over to those folks at this point. It's Ian, Matt, and Vincent joining you here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want, so please head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features. If you appreciate the work that we do here on Free Talk Live, then you can do as Crash Gordon has done and become a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. It stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And if you like the work that we do here on Free Talk Live, talking about the ideas of liberty, peace, freedom, cryptocurrency, 7 nights a week here on Free Talk Live, then please join the AMPS program for as little as $5 per month, as Crash Gordon actually did gold level, which means he's doing $10 a month. So thank you, Crash Gordon, for that. You get some perks like access to the AMP Only Podcast, which has the full radio show without the recorded commercials included. So please head over to amps.freetalklive.com and you can get signed up there. It'll take you to our Patreon. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Ricky from the Commonwealth. You're on Free Talk Live. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Matt, and Brother Vincent. Good evening.
How are you?
Hello.
All right, pleasure.
Well, I had some interesting thoughts after the State of the Union on Tuesday. This came to mind. I didn't mean to bring it up. I don't know if you know about the incident I'm referring to, but President Biden had the audacity to bring up the fact that the Republicans are trying to kill Medicare and Social Security, which they've been trying to do for 20 years.
Sure, they have.
It's not new. Well, what he did was he had the they booed him bad. And then what he did is say, hey, anybody, I got the proposal sitting right in my office. Anybody who wants it, just let me know. I'll send you one.
The Republicans are full of it, by the way, because nothing that they have not been trying to kill those things. Okay, if they had actually intended to kill those things, then they could have done it when they were in total control of the U.S. representatives, the Senate, and the president.
Trump wouldn't have done it. Trump wouldn't have done it because he himself came out just the past week and said, "Don't touch a penny." You know. So he wouldn't have done it.
All right, well, they didn't try very hard then.
Well, they'd never win an election again if they did that.
They haven't won the popular vote 7 out of 8 times since the second term of Reagan, so.
Okay, well, who cares about the popular vote? I'm glad we don't have the popular vote. Then, you know, California and New York are going to run the country, and it'll be even worse.
Here's another example for you, Ricky. They also made this big to-do when this McCarthy guy got into the seat there, at the House.
I watched that.
They made a big to-do about how, oh, well, now we're going to get the vote on the fair tax. We're going to put the fair tax. We're going to get rid of the IRS. We're going to put a vote in on the fair tax, as though they couldn't have done this during Trump. But they didn't do it during Trump. And the reason they're trying to do it now is nothing more than signaling. It's just simply to signal to their base, like, hey, we care about the IRS. We want to get rid of the IRS. But, oh, Joe Biden's going to get in the way. And so, you know, it's never going to go through. Even if it does pass the House, which probably won't, it'll never go through. And then they can, of course, blame the Democrats for something that they could have done in the during the Bush administration. Because the fair tax has been a proposal for more than, I think, 20 years at this point. And they could have done it during Trump. So they're full of it, Ricky.
Perot proposed a version of it himself, you know, if I remember.
Yeah, it was very popular. That was his part of the trick, was the
yeah, and they shut him the hell out of the debates after people started listening to him.
Mm-hmm. People liked him.
Well, if I may, and I want to talk a little bit about Medicare itself. I mean, Social Security, I'm not going to say much about because it goes.
Now, which one is Medicare? I always mix it up. Is Medicare the one for old people or the one that's not for old people?
Well, Medicare can be for younger people, as an example.
Because there's Medicaid and there's Medicare, and I never remember which one's which.
I can talk a little about Medicaid, too, but as far as Medicare goes...
Well, which one's which?
You know, myself, I have Medicare, because currently, as a result of my current condition, I collect an SSD check, you know?
So Medicare is for older people.
Or in some cases, if you're on SSD, you'll get Medicare.
Okay, got it.
It's either for SSD or SS.
Got it.
Now, here's the thing. Now, when it comes
Social
down
Security.
To it, right. Mm-hmm. Regular Social Security. Now, Medicare was $170 last year. It actually went down $6 this year. Now, that's by no means cheap.
When you say it was $170, what does that mean? You have to pay for it?
Per month.
You're paying for that?
Everybody does.
Okay.
Medicare ain't free, man. It was. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, it went down $6, and there has been improvements to it due to the Inflation Act and other things, you know?
No, but I don't believe you.
Well, there has been some improvements.
Nothing run by the government can ever improve in any meaningful sense.
Hear the improvements?
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things they did is on prescription drugs, and this don't benefit me because I only take Teratol, I take generic. But for people to take prescription drugs, there's a $2,000 annual cap. So if you are on something severe like cancer drugs or any of that crap, you're going to really benefit. Now, another thing that they added was they lowered the deductible. It's a little over $200, you know, so that was helpful. Another thing that was added to it, people on Medicare, they can get their insulin for $35. I'm not a diabetic, but a lot of people are. You know, and it's outrageously expensive. It was $300.
Yeah, you know why it's so expensive?
Well, just like everything else is expensive, you know. People need it, so they're going to jack the price.
No, that's not why.
Oh.
No. The reason why healthcare is so expensive is because the government has regulations that jack the price up. That's why the prices get jacked up.
Oh, I thought you were FDA. Talking about the insulin.
Because the FDA exists. No, I am talking about the insulin. And every other healthcare form out there, every FDA-approved treatment costs way more than it otherwise would if they could just bring it to market without having to pass through these bureaucrats and pay bribes in order to do it.
Yeah,
that's why it's so expensive.
The part I don't get about the whole wanting to kill it thing is the $164 an hour, $107 last year, for health care, for what you actually get for it, I use it very little. I go to 4 doctors a year. I go to MD twice. I go to a neurologist twice. I pay $40 copay every time, you know, and I get my Tegretol. That's the extent of my Medicare. But as long as you don't really get sick, you know, you're fine. But for what you pay for it, it's good. But if you want good health...
Well, since you're stealing from people.
How you figure?
How long have you listened to this show, Ricky?
Well, for the past 5 years, I have not, you know.
Okay, well, the message hasn't changed.
How am I stealing from people?
Well, you're not doing the actual stealing. The government is. So you've got an agency that steals from people. It happens on your paychecks, right? Isn't that where Medicare gets taken out?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Yeah, but...
Yeah?
You don't get a choice in that. They're taking it. And they're gonna take your money and give it to other people. That's stealing.
No, Social Security gets taken out.
No, Medicare also gets taken out. Yeah, I got Social Security and Medicare taken out of my paycheck.
Yeah, I thought that was a separate line item, but it's been a long time since I've had a paycheck, so I couldn't remember.
And if you don't get a paycheck, like if you're self-employed or something, they're going to hose you in you know, enough to take out for it.
Well, the be-all and end-all that I don't get is they want to kill this damn thing so bad. And it's something that is
popular
with people.
As Vincent pointed out, if they killed it, like you said, it's popular. People like getting things, quote-unquote, for free, even though they're not free, and they cost actually a lot of money.
It's not free. I pay $164 now starting this year. It was $170 last year.
Okay, whatever.
No, it ain't free.
It's subsidized, then, if that's the case. Dramatically subsidized by everybody else who's paying more than that. For this.
Well, if I needed better coverage, I'd have to get a supplement. Then you're talking into more money, you know? Luckily, I don't. But my question is, what does it really cost them? That's my question. You know?
So what does it cost who?
Let them have it, you know? These guys have, for the past 20 years, on and off, wanted to stop this. It's not new. But what is it costing them? It's not costing them anything. It's not adding to the deficit. It's not causing a problem. So why is this issue there? And there is a small portion of people that are the mega people and all these other guys that are really into getting rid of this.
No, they're not. You know? They just talk about it. I mean, this is exactly what Vincent was trying to explain to you. This is the problem with partisans like you, Ricky, and Jerome on the weekends, who's sort of like your counterpart, basically, who you're so partisan, you really believe that the other guy or the other side is trying to do in your favorite government programs. The reality is they're not, because as Vincent pointed out, they will be losing even more elections if they actually get rid of these giveaways, and they know it. They know
if Republicans told the over 65 crowd that they're going to take away their freebies,
it's over.
They wouldn't get elected ever again.
Two very prominent Republicans are very well known, Rick Scott and Ron Johnson. I heard it coming out of their own mouths. And what's funny is now they're trying to deny that they ever did, ever said it.
Words aren't
talk
actions.
Cheap.
Words aren't actions anyway.
Thanks for the call, Ricky. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
After all this time, how can there still be this? If we just get the right guy in there, this will all be fixed.
Ridiculous.
Not gonna.
What do you guys think? I mean, should we just give up on these issues? How do you actually solve this problem with this government redistribution?
I can't think of anything other than a total reset of the system, where we just declare all Federal Reserve notes to be a fraud, all these debts in Federal Reserve notes to be a fraud, and just start fresh. But that'll be, you know, that's like, you know, like the ending of Fight Club, sort of, you know, like fantasy.
And you nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, well, right. So it's more likely that the federal government is going to crash and burn before any kind of inside-the-system retinkering, retooling can ever become successful. First of all, I don't think that can be successful for the reasons we've already given. So it's going to just have to crash and burn. And so to that end, the best thing that we can do is to get out of the way of it crashing and burning and secede from the United States as peacefully and as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I might throw a little gas on the fire if it goes down in flames. I might stand back from a safe distance and just kind of pee some gasoline on that fire. But, you know, and the thing is, all good things come to an end, and so do all suck things. Mm-hmm. And government is suck. I think the project of liberty-minded people ought to not so much try to force it to happen. I don't think we even need to force it to happen. But to try to work really hard to set up other infrastructure to lighten the blow when it does happen.
Sure. And cryptocurrency is definitely one of those things.
Right? It's a cornerstone of it. And that is also, the powers that be understand the importance of that at this point.
Yeah,
and
they
know that they're not so necessary anymore. The infrastructure is coming up. Decentralized infrastructure is coming up. They don't need to print our money anymore, and that's a giant threat. And you know, I think that was whoever Satoshi Nakamoto is absolute incredible invention that he came up
genius.
With there.
Genius.
Absolutely. And we just need to kind of foster the idea of crypto. Everywhere I go, I give crypto to people. Everywhere I go, I help people set up wallets. I mean, I probably do it 50 or 60 times a year at least, and I give away $1 worth of Doge every single time.
Thank you for that. It's good work. I can't do it anymore.
It's the Lord's work, and it is in direct contravention of your religion that you can't do it anymore.
I know.
And that needs to be brought up in an appeals court somewhere at some time. Yeah, well, that's the end of my thought, really.
Right.
You know, we're setting up the infrastructure because
that's all you can
it's
do.
The only thing that's going to help. You know,
the writing's on the wall. You know, they're cranking out the dollar. They're going insane with World War. You know, what's nearly a World War III at this point.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just the United States government; it's every government on the planet. I mean, they're all the same.
I think it's also important to think of, you know, when we think of like crypto, that's like, you know, an alternative, like currency. But I'm thinking it's important also to focus on even baser stuff, like being independent when it comes to food production.
Totally.
Looking into, you know, urban gardening. I think like a family of four could survive on less than half an acre of, stuff that they grow themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more food we grow for ourselves, you know, the less helpless we are when the government shuts the power off.
And find out who your local farmers are, start supporting them and buying stuff from them now. They'll grow more stuff. Next year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so speaking of crypto and trying to, you know, prepare for the end of the federal government, the end of the U.S. dollar or whatever, crypto is a great alternative. Of course, we also like, you know, precious metals. We certainly talk a lot about the gold back here on Free Talk Live, and I'm a huge fan of what they're doing. And for those of our listeners that are out there saying, I'm just not into that crypto, well, check out the gold back, okay? Check out that as an amazing product to allow you to protect yourself from the failure of the dollar and also have something you can physically spend to other people to buy things. That's what the Goldback's doing, and it's doing an amazing job of helping people in, you know, buying and selling things in physical reality for something besides the U.S. dollar. So if you haven't looked into the Goldback yet, again, they're not a sponsor on Free Talk Live, but I do really love what they do. But for those of us that are interested in cryptocurrency, the big bad news of the day is that crypto exchange Kraken, according to Coindesk.com, is going to immediately end its crypto staking as a service platform for U.S. customers and pay $30 million to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC,
pay them nothing,
to settle charges that it offered so-called unregistered securities, according to the SEC's announcement today. And this comes on the heels of a post from the guy that runs Coinbase, which is one of Kraken's competitors. These are two of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the United States. The Coinbase guy got on Twitter yesterday, and he said he'd heard a rumor that the SEC was going to be going after staking. They're going to be trying to stop people in the United States from conducting staking. Now, can either of you guys explain what staking is?
No, why don't you do it?
Yeah, so
I'll do my best here. So in the world of crypto, there are two major types of cryptocurrencies as far as like the systems behind the actual coins.
There's proof of work.
Proof of work, which is what Bitcoin and, say, Bitcoin Cash and some others are. And then there's proof of stake, which is what Ethereum has become. Ethereum started as proof of work, and they shifted, I think, within the last year or two, to proof of stake. So proof of stake is sort of like the other big type of, here's how this thing works, basically. And so proof of work is where you have like a miner, and the miner has to have like a really powerful graphics card, or it has to be like this dedicated circuitry that only does mining in order to compete with all the other miners all around the planet. And so, like, there's this math problem they're trying to solve, and whoever solves the math problem wins the mining block reward, and they get some Bitcoin, right? That's kind of how that works. I'm not an engineer, right? So that's as like a brief overview as I understand it. Crypto staking doesn't require, as I understand it, does not require miners. And so therefore, the idea behind crypto staking is that more people can participate. Because in order to participate in mining, in most cases, there are some exceptions like Monero and others. You can mine with like a just any old laptop, as I understand
GPU.
It. But we're talking very generally here. With crypto staking, anybody that's got, like, whether it's a laptop or a desktop computer, not so much with phones, I don't think, but with like an actual computer, you can run the full, what they call full node software of that particular coin that you like, and you can quote unquote stake the amounts of coins that you currently have. So if you have some amount of whatever it is we're talking about, Ethereum or, well, I guess Ethereum's different because they require 32 at least to do staking. So excluding Ethereum, some of these other coins that allow for staking, you can tell it, I want to stake my coins. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to participate in the securing of the network that you're interested in. So you become actually an important part of the network.
Yeah, so what the SEC is saying is that that by staking your coins, you are saying that you have bought into the network. And the way the SEC sees that is the exact same way they look at buying stock in a company.
You're a security.
Everything's a security. You know, they are, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And that's the SEC with crypto right now. And the thing is, I think at this point they very much realize that it's out of their control.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's going to keep it in their control is if they bark loudly enough and scare people enough that they walk away from it. But the reality is if people just kind of look at them and say, ooh, that's a mean dog. Let's go to the other side of the street.
Well, in this case, the other side of the street would be to do your own staking.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening here, and you can, like, there's nothing stopping anyone from doing their own staking, but it does, you know, it's not something your grandma's probably going to be able to figure out.
Right.
Like, you do need to download the full node software and press the right buttons. It's not hard to do it.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to use it. Just for people who are new to crypto, I personally don't have any use for those types of coins anyway. I don't want to get involved with that. That's not a necessary part of using crypto.
So one of the downsides of proof of stake is, well, the upside is that you earn a yield. So when you
passive income.
Yeah. So when you do staking, you might get 10% or 15 or 5 or whatever, right?
Yeah, the puzzling part about the SEC getting involved is that's not money.
No,
those aren't dollars.
No, they're not.
They don't represent dollars either. No, they don't represent dollars. It's like, I try to, you know, crypto is just like having a collectible.
It's math.
It's math, but it's like having a Beanie Baby collection.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Like, is the SEC, you know, those go up and down in value. Baseball cards go up and down in value. I don't see the SEC freaking out about it.
Well, hold on. So we actually had Jeremy Kaufman on the show last week. Or no, was it this week? This week. We had him on Monday.
What'd he say?
And, you know, he's intimately familiar as anyone can be.
An absolute expert at this point.
Yeah, with how the SEC considers things to be securities. And basically he said, look, if Tai, I believe, is the company that makes Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
If Tai or Wizards of the Coast, which makes Magic the Gathering cards, if they were to release their cards and say, hey, you know, these could go up in value someday. They absolutely would be gone after by the SEC as a security because that's all it would take.
Yeah, but those are companies that would be coming out and saying that. Bitcoin isn't saying that.
That's true. Bitcoin's not a company.
It's not a company.
Ethereum's not a company.
There are some randos out there saying stuff like that, but it doesn't. You know, there's also randos out there saying Ken Griffey Jr., you know, 89...
Mm-hmm.
Clear Ken Griffey Jr. baseball cards are going to go up in value. You know, and they may be right. They may be wrong, but that doesn't make the baseball card a security.
Well, that's the thing. They are just calling all kinds of things securities that, you know,
they're running for their lives.
Should not be. And so when you do the staking, you get some sort of a yield. And the argument against this is that, well, the coin that you're getting the yield from is just creating new coins every 10 minutes or every minute or whatever the block times are. And so, like, if you get the yield, you're still... or. How do I explain this? So there's a certain amount that there's coming out. So if, like, if you're not getting the yield, you're definitely behind the ball because everybody that is staking is at least trying to be caught up with the inflation of the coin. So it requires the coin to inflate its money supply or its supply of coins in order for this yield to get paid out to the stakers. But since everybody knows the coin is inflating, are you really actually making something? Or are you just kind of keeping up with the Joneses, right? So you, but I will say this, if you are not staking, you're definitely not keeping up with the Joneses because your supply stays still while everybody who is staking is getting new coins added to the supply. But the idea would be that if the market knows that there's new coins coming in all the time, it's not as likely to value the coin up.
Right.
So maybe staking isn't such a great idea. There's a lot of critics of the staking viewpoint out there, but now the SEC is coming in and saying, well, we're just going to just ruin staking in the United States. They've gone after Kraken, which is one of the world's top crypto exchanges. They're registered as Payward Ventures and Payward Trading Limited. Their companies that make up Kraken will end their staking services and programs, according to the SEC. The programs offer the general public access to staking services since at least 2019. Quote, the complaint alleges that Kraken touts that its staking investment program offers an easy-to-use platform and benefits that derive from Kraken's efforts on behalf of investors, including Kraken's strategies to obtain regular investment returns and payouts, whatever all that means. Basically, what it means is that Kraken was offering a tool. So instead of you having to go and, like, figure out, okay, which coins do I want to do staking on, and do I have enough computers to do it, and then, you know, you probably can't do more than a couple of them. I don't know how many coins you can run on one computer and still actually be able to use the computer or something like that. So, like, you know, there's some questions here, so, like, as far as hardware requirements and do you have what it takes to do this. It's not as big as, like, mining Bitcoin. That's very specific hardware, very expensive hardware. Staking can generally be done on even any old laptop computer, but you kind of want to leave it on 24 hours a day.
Right.
If you can, right? So, like, there's some considerations here. So if you can have someone else do that work for you, well, why not? I mean, yeah, they might take 1% or whatever the amount is, but they've got a plug-and-play system where you just click, oh, yeah, I want to stake this and this and this, and boom, done. Don't have to think about it. Now, the downside is it's centralized, so it's in their hands, and they're in control of it. But the upside is, like, you don't have to think about it that much. Well, now that's not even an option. Now the SEC has completely taken that off the table at Kraken, and they're not going to stop there. They're going to go after Coinbase, and they're going to maybe go after individuals if they can figure out.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.